Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Alrighty. Well, this week, political reporters are on high alert. We're talking every cell phone, BlackBerry computer is charged up and ready to go. Editors have plans. Crews are on standby. They're all just waiting for the second when Senator Barack Obama announces his running mate. Rumors abound. As of last night, the word was Obama had narrowed his choice to three potential candidates. Adam Nagorny of The New York Times is keeping watch. Welcome, Adam, as always. A great pleasure to have you. So what do you know?
What do we know? We know that Senator Obama is going to be making his announcement probably sometime over the next 4 or 5 days. Not today, possibly tomorrow. My guess is Thursday or Friday. We think it's down to three. This is a very closely held decision, and there are not many people who really know what's going on. But all indications are to us that he's taking a look right now at Senator Joe Biden of Delaware, Governor Tim Kaine of Virginia, and Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana.
It's extraordinarily close to the vest. I've heard somewhere along the way that perhaps only as many as five people know who he has chosen.
I think that's right. I think if you include his wife, that might make six. I mean, it's really, I've covered a bunch of these in the past. They tend to be pretty closely held. This one is exceptionally closely held. The Obama campaign takes it as a sort of pledge of accomplishment to try to keep its internal deliberations confidential and out of the press. So I think they're probably enjoying this. But we're getting some stuff out of them, I'm happy to say.
Yeah, you did mention three potential names that have been bandied about for actually a couple of weeks,
That's correct.
A couple of months. Now, what would they individually bring to Barack Obama? What is his list look like of traits that he needs moving forward?
Well, there's three things that he arguably needs. One is he needs somebody to sort of compliment him on the whole idea of foreign affairs and experience. Two, he needs someone who sort of emphasizes his message of change, different, we're going to change the way things are done in Washington, someone from outside of Washington. And third, it would be nice to have someone who could deliver one of the states that the Obama people are trying to put in play. Unfortunately, there's no one out there that kind of fits all three or even two of them.
I was going to say, and in fact, Senator Joe Biden might, in fact, negate two or three of those. He is a Washington insider. He does have a lot of foreign policy, but delivering Delaware is not exactly the most significant of all of the states. Doesn't have the high number of electoral votes that Obama is going to need to march towards a winning total.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. And I think that if he picks Senator Biden, which is, I think, very possible, it's going to mean that he's decided that the most important factor for him was foreign policy credentials, which makes sense considering what's going on in the world right now. That doesn't seem so crazy to me. If you pick a guy like Kaine, my guess is probably 10% of the listeners to this program have even really heard of him before. You get the idea of someone who is changed and different, and he puts the state in play. But the problem with him is he doesn't really have any experience at all in Washington foreign affairs, and there's a risk, I think, that he might sort of underline what is Senator Obama's biggest weakness here. At least Senator Bayh, Indiana. Indiana is a state that the Obama campaign would like to put in play. He is a member of the Washington establishment, but he's also, he's been a governor, he's been a senator, and he has foreign policy experience. One caveat, part of his foreign policy experience was being one of the biggest advocates of the war in Iraq, which could be problematic considering the way Senator Obama's been running.
Or it could be an advantage. This is Catherine Lanford, trying to get back to some of those Hillary supporters as well.
Maybe. I don't think, though, that I don't think it would be an advantage in terms of the war, because I don't think that's a cutting issue for Hillary Clinton supporters. I do think it would be helpful because Senator Bayh was one of Mrs. Clinton's biggest supporters. So it would be viewed to some extent, I think, as an olive branch to that campaign. I don't think from everything I hear that is one of their major factors. It's something they're thinking about, but that's not one of the major factors they're taking into account and trying to figure out who they want as their running mate.
Look, Adam, you've been doing this for a long time, and one of the things that you see over and over again this election cycle is people are really looking forward to seeing who this VP nominee is. In fact, our political takeaway director, Andrea Bernstein, has been on the road, and many voters telling her, she's in Ohio now, she was in Pennsylvania yesterday, that might actually help them decide who to vote for.
That's interesting. Historically, VP candidates have not really made a difference.
Exactly.
You know, we pay all this attention to this stuff, but in the end, I mean, take a look at it, right? You could argue the last one who really made a difference was LBJ in 1960. I did not cover that, just for the record. He delivered Texas. There's some people who say that Gore might have helped Clinton because of that kind of chemistry between them, but beyond that, you know, did Edwards help Kerry? I don't think so. The worst vice presidential, arguably the worst vice presidential selection of the past 40 years was Dan Quayle in 1988. George Bush still won that election. So, I mean, the one kind of reality check here is that people make their decisions based on who is at the top of the ticket. And I think vice presidential choices can hurt, maybe help a little bit in the margins. But when we get to election day, people are going to make their choice between Barack Obama and Senator John McCain.
No, but that's what my question was, though, to you, Adam. Is this a different year, coming on the tails of Dick Cheney, who's been a real... Really, Al Gore, he was a strong vice president. And then you have Dick Cheney, a strong vice president. And then right now, we have two presidential nominees who members of the respective parties have serious issues with some of the traits of the candidate, or their strengths, I should say. Does that push up the importance of the VP nominee?
You know, I think if it does, it's more likely to do not on the Obama side, because there's still stark differences in issues between Obama and McCain, but on the McCain side, mainly because, with all due respect to Senator McCain, he's 71 years old. He's going to be 72 if he's elected president. And people are really going to, I think, pay more attention to who he chooses just as a matter of mortality. I think that, you know, people might get reassured who have concerns about Obama. But in the end, you know, core Democratic voters who are now saying they will not vote for Obama, I think, or having hesitations, I think will be more likely swayed by, say, what John McCain said at the church meeting in California on Saturday in terms of abortion and the kind of judges he would support, and just mm-hmm. sort of conservative social views, than on who Barack Obama picks as his vice president.
I have one very quick question for you. We've been asking folks all week, if they were in the Olympics, what would they win a gold medal for? Not in the Olympics. What would you get a gold, silver, or bronze for, Adam? We're curious.
Cooking.
Oh, really? This is good to know.
We'll be over at 7.
We'll be over.
How about for evading questions?
Yes. We'll give you two golds for that. Your colleague, Bill Carter, said he gets the gold for riding in traffic, but we like your answer better. Thanks, Adam.
Take care.
Adam Nagorny. Thanks for being with us. Adam Nagorny reports for the New York Times.
We're always on here at The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on Facebook, FriendFeed, Twitter. Today we're following several stories. NATO resolving the conflict between Russia and Georgia. What voters are thinking about in Pennsylvania.
And we want to remind you, we're going on a road trip, a campaign road trip. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein and our web producer Adam Hirsch are on the road, and we're following their trip on the show and also online, so don't miss their blogging.
Let's go quickly to today's takeaway.
We're such a small town, and everybody knows everybody, and it's just, it's one of those things. And I don't know how the town will do after time.
That is Brian West talking about the small town of Mashpee, Massachusetts, lost two of their boys last week in Iran and Afghanistan. I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry.